I am joined by two gentlemen dropping by that are each independent singer-songwriters who are making their pilgrimage to Folk Alliance International in Kansas City. These guys are maybe not well known to you, but that's one of the things that we like to do here on Notably Texans, introduce you to some of the rising stars from Texas, some of the best singers and songwriters out there that you haven't heard of and that you're going to love. And that's what I think is going to happen today when you hear from my guests, Jordy Bison and Terry Klein. Each of these are individual singer-songwriters who happen to be friends who are heading to the same event, and it just kind of worked out that we could have them both in studio. And I welcome you both to KETR.
It's great to be here, Matt.
Wonderful to be here. Thanks for having us.
Texas, you know, such a hotbed for some of the most creative and impressive musical minds, and these two names are some prime examples. Appreciate you being here. Jordy Bison, and that's spelled B-A-I-Z-A-N, right? I got that
correct.
So
yeah.
Jordy Bison, I wanted to start a little bit with your background, which I find to be both interesting and topical with the times right now, because I believe your parents were both immigrants, right?
That's right. Yeah, I'm a first-generation American, first-generation Houstonian, born and raised in Houston, Texas. My dad from Spain and my mother from Cuba.
Wow.
They came to the U.S., in the early 60s.
Okay.
They both left Cuba and came to the U.S. to make their way, and they met in Houston and,
oh, wow,
and started a life here. Yeah.
That's a great story. I love that. So you've lived in Houston all your life then?
Lived in Houston all my life. Yes.
I hope that you weren't too adversely affected by last year's hurricane.
Well, there were hundreds of thousands of people affected. So even if you didn't get water in your house, you know someone that did, and
sure,
there were people out helping other people. But it was quite an experience. I can't believe it was only August, but
I know, right.
But we're still seeing the aftermath in our neighborhoods, and yeah, it's amazing what we went through.
Wow.
A lot of good things came out of it too.
Well, right. With adversity, everybody's brought together, you know, and you find the decency in people that you
absolutely
ironically don't see until there's a disaster.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
trying to look on the positive side of that as much as possible. And I think you and your wife have some grown kids. Is that true?
We do. Yeah. Our kids are, we're pretty much empty nesters.
Okay.
which is pretty cool. So I'm kind of doing everything in reverse. I'm doing the... the musician touring around the country thing after I raised the kids with my wife, and it's going great. It's been fun.
So that's Jordy Bison, one of my guests in this portion of Notably Texan on KETR. And also with me in the KETR studios is Notable Texan Terry Klein, who hangs his hat in Austin. I'm going to razz you just slightly because you're not a native of Texas, are you?
That's true. But I did get here as fast as I could.
Well, that's what's important. So tell me a little bit about your upbringing and where you'd lived prior.
Well, we moved to Texas from Boston, Massachusetts in 2016.
Okay.
And that was after I'd practiced law full-time for 15 years.
Wow.
In Boston. And as a litigator, a trial lawyer, and that sort of thing. I was born in Boston and then bounced around quite a bit.
Okay.
Went to high school in Los Angeles, worked in politics in Washington.
Really?
For a couple of years, and then went to law school back out in California, and then moved to Boston as an adult. And we had both of our kids there, Zoe, who's 13, and Beatrice, who's 9.
Wonderful.
And moved down here.
That's great. Well, I mean, that is such an interesting path that it sounds like you've taken. Not many artists do I talk to say, well, you know, I used to do all the things you just described, including being a lawyer for that long, and saying, you know what, it's time to hang that up and become a singer-songwriter. That's amazing. Was there anything that kind of pushed you in that direction?
Well, I think it was a compulsion, and I suspect that a lot of people you have in this studio are in here because they have to be, almost. The songs just started coming. I realized that I kind of needed to, and I realized two things. Number one, it was making me incredibly happy.
Really?
To play songs and to share songs with people. And the second thing was that I felt like I needed to devote my life to it.
Wow.
And those two things are connected. And my wife really pushed me along the road to do that. She's a very successful professional herself. And so she said, just go, just, you know, jump in, take a risk, you know, we'll move from Boston to Texas. We love it down there. And that's what we did.
That is amazing. So it was it sounds like it was a calling for you then.
Well, I think that songwriting is a calling generally. I think that, that, you know, it was Harlan Howard, I think, a great Nashville songwriter, who said that he didn't write songs, he wrote them down.
Okay. I like that.
And so, and that's kind of the way I view it as well.
Given that you have not been doing this that long, it really is kind of more impressive to know that you don't have a lifetime of experience songwriting, because frankly, it sounds like you do in your stuff. So I have to commend you on that.
Thank you.
It just kind of comes naturally to you since you just started a couple of years ago. And that's phenomenal.
I'm not sure about it coming naturally as much as, you know, like I'm very methodical and, you know, sort of sneakily. So, you know, in the music business, you have a reputation, you know, we're all these wild people
that yes.
stay up all night, but it, you know, to writing good songs, and I think Jordy agrees with me, it takes work and it takes showing up, and you have to show up every day and you have to really, you have to dedicate yourself to it. And I've been able to do that. I've been very fortunate. I have.
It's really kind of inspiring to me to see that you guys are sort of the, I guess, the non-traditional singer-songwriters, the rising stars, because I think we're about, you know, common age. A lot of the, you know, folks that I'm talking to that are just getting started out are doing it, you know, in their younger years.
Yes.
And so I kind of respect both of you guys for doing this. I'm not implying that you guys are elderly in any way, just no. just to clarify, but I'm just saying it's refreshing to me to see a couple of guys like myself who are getting a few gray hairs, you know what I mean, that,
yes.
that are doing this, that are out there hitting the road, that are, you know, putting their passion into these songs and doing that. So I commend you both for that. So
I think it's important for people to find their true voice, and there's not a specific age when you're destined to find your true voice. You just have to kind of figure it out on the journey. But when you do, there's a real gift there for you. And I think Terry's found that, and I found
true.
That, you know, we really enjoy giving what the songs we write to the audiences that are there listening. But they give us as much as we give them, for sure.
So I was curious, you know, how long have you two been friends, and how did you meet?
It was at SWRF in Austin, right?
That's right. The Southwest Regional Folk Alliance Conference in September of 2016.
See, a lot of guys that love to refer to SWRFA, which sounds, you know, sounds like somebody's got a mouthful of marbles, but it's just an acronym, of course.
Yeah, so we're going to this Folk Alliance Conference in Kansas City, which is an international organization, and there are also regional conferences throughout the United States that occur once a year. And we went to the one in Austin.
I see.
In 2016, and that's where we met and heard each other. And
yeah, it was both of our first times there. And at SWRFA, they have these first-timer rooms.
Oh, really?
Where you can go and play a few songs, and they're pretty, and they're well attended. And we were in the same room, and I think I might have either followed right after Jordy or vice versa. We both noted the similarity of our journeys, and just kept the conversation going after that. But I think that we really kind of cemented the friendship at Kerrville last May. We were both selected as regional finalists at the Kerrville Folk Festival New Folk competition, and so we spent some time together at Kerrville. We wrote together, we played music late into the or early into the morning, I suppose, and we've been in pretty close touch since then.
Yeah, I think we've been encouraging each other along the way, and we ask each other for advice, and we've even written a song together and have plans to write more. So
that's cool. Yeah. I love that, because it's just kind of reminds me of like, you know, two new kids at school or something that ended up, you know, hooking up with each other, because it's like, hey, you're new too. Let's get through this together.
Right.
That's great. Well, I'm happy to hear about that, and looking forward to maybe hearing, you know, some recording that you guys do together, or co-writing in the stuff that you were just talking about. Jordy, you were previously in a more kind of rock-oriented band. I think it was called Q&A, right?
Yes.
So what made you kind of decide to step out as a solo artist in really a different genre?
Yeah, well, I've always been a rocker. I've had rock and roll in my blood. But I also always admired the guys like James Taylor or John Denver or Bob Dylan in his early days. That could, with a guitar, could entertain an audience and hold them captive because of what they were doing. I found that fascinating.
Yeah.
And so challenging. We were talking about that today. Why do we do what we do? It's terrifying.
Right.
Why do we expose ourselves in this way? But there seems to be something good that happens to us after we go through that experience of making ourselves vulnerable like that. The other aspect of wanting to do it not only was the challenge, but also the practicality of saying, I can just take my guitar and I can play anywhere. I can,
that's,
you know,
true.
I can play a radio show in Commerce, Texas.
Yes.
On my way to Oklahoma City for a show there, and I don't have to coordinate with the drummer and the bass player and the guitar player and all their schedules.
Right.
I can just decide. If I'm free, I can be there.
That would be rather liberating after being in a band, I would think.
So that has its pluses as well.
And your solo debut is called Like the First Time. What is that title a reference to?
The freshness of something when it happens to you for the first time, but also as maybe a bit of a philosophy for life of trying to live each opportunity, each moment, as if it were the first time. This is the first time that we've been here in this place.
Right.
And it's the only time that the three of us will be here in this moment.
That's true.
So finding a way to really appreciate that just enriches the experience of life, you know?
I like your outlook on life, man. I think more people ought to live like you and just kind of be happy to, you know, take the next step and do the next thing. Why don't we listen to a song from the record? Would you like to do that?
That sounds great.
I picked out Meyerland, and this is, I think, a reference to somewhere back home in Houston, isn't it?
That's right. I took a walk down the street where I grew up as a kid. It was a great place to grow up. And I got a chance to walk through the old house as well. It had been flooded.
Oh, really? Okay.
Back in the 3 years ago, in the Memorial Day flood, and so the house was gutted. And I actually filmed a video in that house later of the song after it was recorded.
I see.
So it's kind of a song about my experience of growing up. I was very fortunate.
Walking underneath the twisted trees in my old neighborhood, the memories come flooding back so clear, and most of them are good. I thought I'd left this place behind. I had the perfect plan, but I never got away from Meyerland. Our parents moved us here 'cause there were better schools, and the street taught us the lessons that it needed to. I've made my way in this big world. I do the best I can, but I never got away from Meyerland.
That's Meyerland by Jordy Bison from Houston on 88.9 KETR. Jordy Bison, also Austin singer-songwriter Terry Klein, both my guests. They're also going to be heading to something called Folk Alliance International. And you were telling me a little bit about this before. What exactly is the draw for you guys? Because that's a long ways to drive for something you know, that most of us haven't heard of.
I think that most of the artists that would go would say, and use almost these exact words, they'd say it's a good hang.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's a lot of friends from near and far who get together and just sing for each other. And we do it in hotel rooms, and no mics, no amplification. You just let it rip. And so you have the artists coming in from everywhere, but there are radio people coming in and people that I've started to refer to as the folk music industrial complex, the managers,
okay,
the publicists, the radio promoters, and
the venue
folks
owners.
Like that, the venue owners,
bookers.
And so it's just, we all get together, and I haven't done the national one. I've done a bunch of the regions, and it's just a, you know, the music really does sit front and center, I would say. You know, there's business there, you know, there's art and there's commerce, but the music is really the most important thing for these conferences.
And the international aspect of it, I'm assuming you've got people literally coming in from out of the country for this.
Oh yeah.
Hey, while I have you guys here, would you be willing to say a few words about public radio? Because we're a listener-supported radio station. We're a non-commercial broadcast outlet here at KETR. Open up the floor if you have some comments about why you like public radio and what you would say to a listener about why they should support a station like KETR.
Well, I will say that I have experience with public radio, particularly in Houston, I would say that one of the fantastic things from a music standpoint is the exposure that I've received to new artists that aren't, you know, in that cookie cutter mold that are being played across thousands of stations, and they're picked by the corporate, you know, giants. You get to hear the really amazing talent that's available just down the street, or a few towns over, or, you know, a couple hundred miles away. You get exposed to a lot of really amazing music that way. And it's been a great way for my music to get out to new audiences as well. So I find that kind of that independence to be refreshing. Being a DJ on one of these big stations is, you're really not a DJ. You don't get to pick the music. It's picked for you. That's why, you know, a lot of the people that really love being DJs like yourself that fell in love with it years ago when radio was huge, they've come to independent radio because they can make a difference. They can be a tastemaker. You can't be a tastemaker at a big station.
Right. I can concur with what you're saying right now. That is true. And I have friends that, you know, have worked at the conglomerate, you know, commercial stations, and right, there's no creativity. They're really pretty much there to say, hey, here's the song the computer told me to play.
And it's interesting that we're talking about something as creative as music and creating art, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But DJs can't be creative. They have to pick what was picked for them.
Well, I appreciate your words on that, Jordy. Terry, did you want to chime in on this?
I definitely do. You know, I think there are two pieces of it for me with public radio. There's the news piece and there's the music piece. And the news piece is something that NPR is something that I listened to with my mom. She would drive me to school in high school, and we'd listen to NPR. And it was Bob Edwards at that point, and I just remember his voice. So it just kind of felt like home in a certain sense. And so, you know, I still listen to NPR every morning. We have KUT in Austin. But as part of the musical journey, it's been incredibly important. When I was in Boston, there are two huge, wonderful stations. There's WERS, which is Emerson College, and WUMB, which is UMass Boston. And I discovered some of my most important influences listening to those radio stations before I'd ever written a song. So you have the news piece and the music piece, and it's invaluable.
Well, we hope that you feel that way too, and that you'll kind of heed the words of my special guests in studio, Jordy Bizon. And we just heard from Terry Klein. And if you want to support this radio station, you can go to KETR.org and click donate today. Terry Klein, you've got this album out called Great Northern, which touches kind of multiple genres. Like there's a little country, a little folk, Americana in there. And I appreciate that a lot because we are a, you know, wildly eclectic show here. So we play all those and more. But you had a noteworthy producer on the album, didn't you?
Yeah, it was produced by Walt Wilkins, who's a beloved Texas songwriter fixture. I was overjoyed that he agreed to work with me, and it was really the most professionally fulfilling experience I think I had either as a lawyer or in music to make that record with him.
It's not every day where you can have a name like that, you know, as your producer. Really, was that your debut?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a pretty good way to make a splash.
Yes, it was. And I think that, you know, Walt has done that. He did that with Sam Baker, too.
Okay.
You know, he heard something in me where he wanted to hear more, and he wanted to coax more out of me. The vision was to put the songs front and center. And then layer some instrumentation around it. And it ended up working out really well, I think. We tracked everything with all of us in a couple of rooms. The piano was in a separate room in an isolation booth.
Right, that's more
but,
for you.
But we could see Bart sitting there playing, doing his thing. But it was all of us sitting in a single room. And then we brought in people, you know, Kim Deschamps played steel and Warren Hood added some fiddle, but they came to the studio and we sat with them and talked about our vision, for the record. And so that made it feel like I think a more cohesive thing to me than I maybe expected it would.
I just was really happy to hear that story, because that doesn't happen on every record. So very cool. It was really hard to pick out because you got so many good songs on the record, both of your releases, so I was struggling on which tunes to play from each of you, but I settled on this cut from Great Northern called Wasted on the Living. Now, I understand this is I don't know, maybe more of a macabre tune from the album, but hey, leave it to me to maybe lean on something weirder, and no offense by that. I don't
know. No, that's a compliment.
So this tune, Wasted on the Living, I find that to be kind of one of the standout tracks on the album. Any insight you want to provide on that, or do you want to leave that to the ears of the beholder?
Well, it's about a murder trial that my mother-in-law covered in the late 1960s in Los Angeles, and the verdict came down the day that my father-in-law proposed to her.
Wow.
And so she always has remembered it for reasons that you'll hear in the song. A really interesting aspect of it is it was the last song to make the record. I wrote it really shortly before we went into the studio, and played it for the players, and they really wanted to cut it and add it as a track. It was the last song we tracked, and I was coming down with either a very bad cold or a very minor flu, and you can hear it in my voice, and it adds, I think, to the atmospherics of the track.
The jury was instructed to carefully review every bit of evidence presented. They were out for 40 minutes, yeah, that was all it took to send Lester away. Bailiff took him out, and I must have caught his eye. He stared down at my brand new wooden bane. The sound of the shackles haunts me to this day. He opened his mouth to speak, but the bailiff led him away. And they say life is wasted on the living. They say true love never fades. Burnt up cup of bitter midnight coffee and a death that can never be repaid.
Let's give people an opportunity to find out where they can keep up with you, because you each have your own websites and whatnot. So where can people find you out there, starting with Jordy?
www.jordybaizan.com, JORDIBAIZAN.com. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Come check us out.
What about you, Terry? You're not getting out of this that easy. Where can we find you?
You can find me at www.terrykleinmusic.com, Facebook, Terry Klein Music. You can find me on Instagram and even on Twitter. I've been known to tweet at Klein Songs, KLEINSONGS. And I try to keep my social media presence interesting and trying to brighten your day.
Nice. Okay, we could definitely all use some of that for sure in these trying times. We could all use a little bit of lighthearted something or another from social networking.
And we'll be back in this area on April 14th?
April 14th, yes.
April 14th at the Big Sandy Music Hall in Big Sandy, Texas.
So, okay, very good.
Yeah. With the great Randy Brown.
With the great Randy Brown.
Excellent.
Doing another songwriter in the round.
Yes.
I am so glad that I got to learn about you. I have a feeling that people in this area are going to be happy to have learned about each of you as well. So I can't thank you guys enough, and I want to wish you a safe trip. Terry Klein, Jordy Baizan, it's really been a pleasure, guys. So I wish you all the best.
Thanks for listening, y'all.
Yes. Thank you so much for having us, Matt.